Well, we may as well start by talking about the statement that you've made on the club website. I guess the thinking behind it really is that you you interact all the time with fans on Twitter. You're always keen to make sure they're in the picture, and you've just taken a bit more time to write a bit more.
Yeah, no, communication's always important, and I just thought, you know what, an end of year message every year is probably a good thing to do from now on, and I do one in the summer, and probably a good idea to do one, obviously, at the end of each year, and obviously it's been a tricky year, so I thought the fans deserved that.
It's fair to say it's been a bit of a strange year, and you do reflect on this in the statement, because there have been some great highs, obviously going to Wembley and winning the Johnston's Paint, and then there have been some real difficulties as well. It's a really strange one to quantify. I think Darren called it his most frustrating year. Is that something you go along with?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a really difficult year to look back on and think, well, was it successful? Was it not successful? Was it frustrating? I mean, a lot of things happened, but I guess the be-all and end-all is that, you know, we won a cup, we went to Wembley, we hit the playoffs. As a League One team, it's probably, you know, as a team that wants to do well and challenge, they're probably big targets you want to achieve. And promotion obviously didn't happen. That was a big disappointment. But the reality is, looking from the outside in, it wasn't a bad year for Peterborough United, you know what I mean? And like I said in the summer, we have to get over the disappointments and stop looking back and move on. And thankfully, it's a new year.
You touch upon it in your statement. Clearly, results haven't been quite where you'd want. But equally, I think it always looked like it may well be a bit of a year of transition. Has the biggest disappointment been, though, that obviously you were keen with the players that have been brought in to see a more, I think you described it as, energetic brand of football, and for whatever reason that hasn't quite happened?
Yeah, no, there's been a few disappointments, and there was a lot of rebuilding went on in the summer, and I still stand by that. You're only as good as your strongest players, and I'm not trying to hide behind injuries. Look, it is what it is. We've had an horrific run, but we want to play a certain way, and we want to play with a certain people named in the team, and we just haven't been able to name our strongest team, in my opinion, you know, since the start of the season. And you look at our squad now, and you look at our players, and you think, you know, if we could see a run of games with players like Erhan, Madison, John Taylor, all in the same team, would we have the brand of energetic football we desire? Would we be winning a lot more games? I think the answer is yes, and I think it's something we need to allow to happen and get over the bad run we've had in the first half of the season, injury-wise and form-wise, and kick on.
Is there a feeling that there's still a little bit of a hangover from the time in the Championship where, quite rightly, yourself and Darren decided to be, I think, a little bit more pragmatic with the style of football?
And yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if there's a hangover on the management side psychologically as regards to, they still think it's, you know, having to play all these ex-Premiership clubs every week and it's a different way of playing. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask them. But from my point of view, it's all said and done. It's 18 months now, nearly two seasons since we're in the Championship. We can't keep harping back to the Championship and the 7 minutes and what happened and the unjustness. You move on. That's football. That's life. Nobody died. We want to get back there now. And we've got to realise we're a League One club and we've got to do everything we can to try and get out of this league and mount a promotion challenge regardless of what happened in the past. And you know, that means in this league, I mean, it's a league where anyone can get promoted, but I think you have to be very offensive-minded. I think you have to be very aggressive in your approach, and I think you have to go out to attack and win games and win games well. And all of this talk about setting up and being counter-attacking and over-tactifying things, in my opinion, I just think sometimes it can be overcomplicated, and football's not a complicated game.
You look at the League One table, and that would bear that out, wouldn't it? Because obviously it's been a tough period, but Posh are right, still in the playoff mix, which underlines how even it is in that middle part of the league.
Yeah, you know, I think it's to get promoted from this league, you have to be winning 60-65% of your games, and if we'd won 60% of our last 10 games, you know, we'd be in the top two probably. So the reality is, stats are stats, and you've got to do what you've got to do, but you've got to go out to attack and you've got to go out on the front foot, and you can't sit back and you can't look sideways. You've got to go forward. And you know, there's no great geniusness to what you've got to do in League One. Rotherham showed that last year, and we've showed it before when we've got promoted twice from this league. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're only as good as your players. And at the moment, obviously, our players are setting their own standards, and those standards are falling way below what we're used to. But like I said to you before, it's not Mission Impossible. You know, at the end of the day, we've got 23, you know, games left to put it right, and I'm feeling very confident that we can do that.
We mentioned, obviously, your contributions, if we can put it that way, on Twitter, interacting with the fans, which is clearly brilliant for them because they get to engage with you. It also brings you closer to their criticism. How tough is that sometimes when after a game you have so many people getting in touch?
It is what it is. I mean, obviously I've got trolls that hit me as well, and that frustrates me. And, you know, I've learned over the last couple of months to be a little bit more relaxed on Twitter as regards to, you know, people hitting me with responses and being negative. It is what it is. When we lose, it's the Fergie out brigade. When we win, it gives you a little bit of respite. Obviously, we haven't won enough recently, so there hasn't been enough respite. But, you know, Twitter is Twitter. It's a great way to communicate with fans, but you do open yourself up to, you know, easy criticism and a lot of trolling. So, but it's not something I'd shy away from. I think it's a great way to speak to the fans.
Yeah, because clearly football is about entertaining and fans are your customers, so you want to engage with them as much as possible.
Absolutely.
The other side of that is clearly some of the things that get said can be pretty hurtful. I imagine one of the worst, and it has come up from time to time recently, is this accusation that A, perhaps you're not willing to put enough money into the club, and secondly, you wouldn't want to get rid of Darren because you can't afford it. That must be one of the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, it's total nonsense, you know, to question. That's probably the only thing that irks me, to question my commitment or my loyalty or what I put into the club. I mean, the money I put into the club last year alone, absolute fortunes and millions. So I always back the management staff. We always buy players. We've done it every year, regardless who we sell. It's never, ever changed in the 8 years or whatever I've been involved with Peterborough. I think we've probably bought more players than any other, most football league clubs, I'd say. And, yeah, the whole thing about Darren, and oh, he's got a three-year contract, not four. He's not unsackable. It's not about money sacking him. I've said it before, so I don't know why people accuse me of that. It's nothing to do with it. I said the other day in my statement, it's actually a really easy decision to fire a manager and change a manager, and I've done it before. But I've got to do what's right for the football club, and you know, history doesn't give you more time, so to speak, and it shouldn't give Darren more time. What gives him more time is my belief and my backing, and at the moment he has that.
And trust is clearly such a big part of the relationship between any club owner and their manager. And I get the feeling, even if the situation developed and Darren was no longer at the club, would it be fair to say he's still a person that you'd very much trust with your football team?
Absolutely, 100%. Of course I trust Darren. And we've had a great relationship. And I'm absolutely gutted for him, what's going on. I'm gutted when I hear the fans talk about him like they did at some of the games. I'm gutted with the criticism he's receiving. I'm gutted we're not winning more games. I'm angry with the players that they're not performing to their maximum. I'm angry over the injury situation. It all falls on Darren. And if I thought for a moment he'd lost the team or he'd lost the dressing room, he'd be gone. Trust me, him and his management team would be gone. And the reality is they haven't. Those lads, you know, those lads still believe and trust in him and his management team. And if that stopped for one moment, they'd be gone. They'd be gone yesterday. It's not to say that none of them are unsackable. And we sat down and had a meeting the other day. They were told what's needed. January is a big month for them in their careers. It's not just about Peterborough United. I said to them, if they want to be coaches and management at the top level, they've got to get their act together. You know, they've got to rip up the script. They've got to change what they're doing, and they've got to do something new. Because whatever's going on, it's not working. Regardless of injuries and form and whatever else, it's not working. We're not winning enough games. We're not playing to the true standard we're used to. And with the squad of players they do have available now, and I think there's only one injury, which is Jack Baldwin. That's no more excuses, no time for excuses now. They have to find a way to win, and they have to find a way to win well. And that's going to obviously shape their own careers for years to come as well.
In the most immediate sense, you've set up this week away in Marbella. I guess a big part of the thinking behind that is just to have a change of scenery, a real break and a fresh start.
Yeah, it's been rough over Christmas. I was at the training ground the other day. It was rock hard. It's tough. We've got a few players nursing bruises and stuff and whatever. We need to get back in shape and ready for the Colchester game. And I just thought, you know what? It's a great opportunity. We've got a break. Let's get them all out there. I put my hand in my pocket. I organised a trip. They didn't know about it until I dropped it on them in that meeting the other day. I said, you know, I'm sending you away and for a few days and we're going to get the squad together. There's 22 players going out. There's I think, 8 members of management staff. And not only is it a chance to bond and get together again like pre-season, we had a great pre-season. And it showed because after 5 or 6 games, we went top of the table. We came off that pre-season in top-notch mental and physical form, in my opinion. And whatever happened since then, you know, I can't put my finger on that. But we need to get back to that start we had. And if we can come off that the mid-season tour to Spain and go again like a train and win 4 or 5 games in a row, we suddenly put ourselves in a key position with 17, 18 games to go. And I guess that's really important, and that's the key. So January is just a key month for the football club.